Pickering felt oddly detached as he moved toward the two prisoners. He stopped in front of Rachel, vaguely surprised that this was not harder for him. "Sometimes," he said, "circumstances raise impossible decisions." Rachel's eyes were unyielding.
"You created these circumstances."
"War involves casualties,"
Pickering said, his voice firmer now.
"Ask Diana Pickering, or any of those who die every year defending this nation. You of all people should understand that, Rachel." His eyes focused in on her.
"Iacturo pacurum, sawa multus."
He could see she recognized the words. Almost a cliché in national security circles. Sacrifice the few to save the many. Rachel eyed him with obvious disgust.
"And now Michael and I have become part of your few?"
Pickering considered it. There was no other way. He turned to Delta One.
"Release your partner and end this."
Delta One nodded. Pickering took a long last look at Rachel and then strode to the ship's nearby portside railing, staring out at the sea racing by. This was something he preferred not to watch. Delta One felt empowered as he gripped his weapon and glanced over at his partner, dangling in the clamps. All that remained was to close the trap doors beneath Delta Two's feet, free him from the clamps, and eliminate Rachel Sexton and Michael Tolland. Unfortunately, Delta One had seen the complexity of the control panel near the trap door, a series of unmarked levers and dials that apparently controlled the trap door, the winch motor, and numerous other commands. He had no intention of hitting the wrong lever and risking his partner's life by mistakenly dropping the sub into the sea. Eliminate all risk. Never rush. He would force Tolland to perform the actual release. To ensure that he didn't try anything tricky, Delta One would take out insurance known in his business as biological collateral. Use your adversaries against one another. Delta One swung the gun barrel directly into Rachel's face, stopping only inches from her forehead. Rachel closed her eyes, and Delta One could see Tolland's fists clench in a protective anger.
"Miss Sexton, stand up," Delta One said.
She did. With the gun firmly on her back, Delta One marched her over to an aluminum set of portable stairs that led up to the top of the Triton sub from behind.
"Climb up and stand on top of the sub."
Rachel looked frightened and confused.
"Just do it,"
Delta One said. Rachel felt like she was moving through a nightmare as she climbed up the aluminum gangway behind the Triton. She stopped at the top, having no desire to step out over the chasm onto the suspended Triton.
"Get on top of the sub,"
the soldier said, returning to Tolland and pushing the gun against his head. In front of Rachel, the soldier who was in the clamps watched her, shifting in pain, obviously eager to get out. Rachel looked at Tolland, who now had a gun barrel to his head.
"Get on top of the sub." She had no choice.
Feeling like she was edging out onto a precipice overhanging a canyon, Rachel stepped onto the Triton's engine casing, a small, flat section behind the rounded dome window. The entire sub hung like a massive plumb bob over the open trapdoor. Even suspended on its winch cable, the 9-ton sub barely registered her arrival, swinging only a few millimeters as she steadied herself.
"Okay, let's move," the soldier said to Tolland. "Go to the controls and close the trap door."
At gunpoint, Tolland began moving toward the control panel with the soldier behind him. As Tolland came toward her, he was moving slowly, and Rachel could feel his eyes fixing hard on her as if trying to send her a message. He looked directly at her and then down at the open hatch on top of the Triton. Rachel glanced down. The hatch at her feet was open. The heavy circular covering propped open. She could see down into the one-seater cockpit.
"He wants me to get in?"
Sensing she must be mistaken, Rachel looked at Tolland again. He was almost to the control panel. Tolland's eyes locked on her. This time he was less subtle. His lips mouthed,
"Jump in. Now."